gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello, is this a Mr. McMurray?
Synchronize your watches.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't wear a watch.
I thought I was losing my mind. What the heck? Is that Pete?
And we have some amazing news for the city of Chicago.
Chance the Snapper, all 5 green feet of him, was nabbed overnight after a week on the lam.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot one this week. But right now, we're at 75-ish. Okay, I'll take that. It's not too bad outside. Big day today. I was very sad to see that the alligator was captured, because when was the last time something like this brought the city together? Vivi, think about it before you answer.
Okay.
The Cubs World Series, that only brought half the city together. The White Sox World Series brought half the city together. When the Blackhawks won it, maybe. But everyone, we were on alligator watch, and now it's kind of sad that they caught the alligator. It's too bad. Chance the Snapper.
I just love that name.
This is what I love, and I can't wait to talk to Eric from WGN. They bring in a guy from Florida, and he catches the gator right away. I love it. Let's bring on Eric Rung from WGN-TV. Eric, you've been covering this story. I feel I'm a little sad that they caught the alligator. How do you feel?
Well, you're not alone. There's a ton of people that I talked to today after they announced that they captured the alligator, but did the exact same thing, that they were sad. I mean, think about this. This city, most of our news revolves around political corruption.
Yep.
And violence.
Yes.
And now we have a story that is a feel-good story. No one's getting hurt.
Nope.
And people are tuning out from all around Chicago, every single neighborhood,
right,
coming down to Humboldt Park, and they're a part of this. They want to be a part of this. So a lot of people said exactly what you're saying. It's sad that it's over now, because one person I talked to said tonight, now we're going to go back to reality, which is kind of sad. And it has been fun to cover. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, as a journalist, this is the big journalism scoop that you dream of when you're in journalism school. But this has been something to cover. This is something that Chicago is going to remember for a very, very long time.
Eric, remember Alligator Bob, our old friend Alligator Bob, who lives in Chicago, and he was trying to catch this alligator for days, and all of a sudden they said, you know what? We're going to bring in an expert from Florida. He may know a little bit more, and it took him a day and a half, the guy from Florida.
Right. I asked Animal Care yesterday, before they had actually captured the gator, I asked him, how's Alligator Bob taking this? And they kind of chuckled like you are too, because this is his big moment to shine, right?
This was his Super Bowl, and he couldn't. The guy was in a canoe in the Humboldt Park Lagoon in a canoe trying to catch an alligator. This guy comes in from Florida, Frank Robb, and he says, okay, we got the trap. We put it over here. It takes him a day. Boom, they get the alligator. The alligator is on TV this morning, press conference. Done.
Right. I mean, the key, according to Frank Robb, was shutting down the east end of Humboldt Park and making it quiet, because you'll remember, I mean, ever since this was announced a week ago, I mean, there were hundreds of people out here.
Hundreds, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, they were making a lot of noise. I mean, they were excited about it, and they were all trying to capture that one glimpse, that one picture. And now, so once they shut it all down, they thought that the alligator would feel a lot more comfortable with surface, which is exactly what it did. And I think Frank Robb said today that he made about 8 passes in the lagoon before he finally saw the alligator. He cast out with a hook and hooked it and was able to bring it in that way. The alligator wasn't hurt. Animal Care was quick to make sure that every single reporter knew that the alligator had not been injured while being captured. It's
God,
still
these
healthy.
Animal lovers, even an alligator, they're going to bat for it. So they, Frank Robb caught the alligator with a hook?
Yeah, they showed the hook earlier today. I mean, it was basically like a fishing hook.
Right, an oversized fish hook.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Wow. So where does the alligator go? Does it stay in Chicago for a few days, get checked out, and then they ship it off to Florida?
Well, they are going to keep it here at least until they can find a place that will take it. I mean, they're looking at sanctuaries, conservatories, things like that, where the alligator will live out its days, being fed and not being, you know, they're not going to put it back out in the wild or anything like that. You'll remember that they believe that this was somebody's pet at some point.
Right.
That then they came down here and dumped it. So now they're looking for a place that will take the alligator in and make sure that, you know, it's fed and is healthy and lives out its days.
That alligator is going to have a better retirement than me. Seriously.
You and me both, my friend.
Wow. So you're going to be on the WGN morning or WGN news tonight. The Cub game just ended. Kyle Schwarber had a walk-off dinger.
So, oh, thank goodness. I was watching the whole game inside the live truck, and then all of a sudden I started seeing the photographers start walking out, and I missed the walk-off.
So what are you going to talk about on the news? What are you going to talk about on the news since the press conference was this morning?
Well, what we did was we came out here tonight, and we tried to capture that feeling of, you know, that this thing that Chicago had rallied around now is over. And what we kind of talked about when we began talking this evening about right. How this is kind of sad.
It is sad.
But also, I mean, you know, this Frank Robb guy, I mean, he's being treated like a hero today.
Right.
He threw out the pitch at the first pitch at the Cubs game.
Yep.
Just turned on Buckingham Fountain tomorrow.
What?
I mean, yeah.
By the way, we were going to kick off the show today with Frank Robb. He turned us down. He's like, I'm not doing any interviews. What do you mean? You threw out the first pitch at Wrigley. Now he's what's he doing at the Fountain tomorrow?
He's flipping the switch. What? I don't even know what the switch is, to be honest with you. I don't know how accurate this is, but I was told by my desk the last person that did that was Tom Skilling. So it is a big deal.
No, they flip the switch and they turn on the Fountain at the beginning of the season. Tom Skilling did that. Maybe he's turning on the lights tomorrow at the Fountain.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's what I was told.
This guy basically threw a hook with a piece of meat on it in the lagoon and caught the alligator, and now he's a Chicago hero.
That's right. Chicago icon. But here's the thing. People are going to forget Frank Robb. They're going to forget he came from Florida.
Yeah.
They're going to forget all of that.
Right.
What they're going to remember is that for a week in July, Chicago, every single neighborhood, rallied around Humboldt Park around an alligator.
Yep.
And that's what people are going to remember.
Right. It brought the city together. Wow. I feel like we need some music here. This is wonderful. Hold me, Eric Rung, WGN-TV. Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you around the station. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Take care.
All right. Eric Rung on WGN-TV and also here at WGN Radio. Think about it for a second. I know we kid about it. But when was the last time something like this brought the city together? Does anything come to mind?
Yeah, January 31st, 1993. I was born that day.
Besides your birthday, when was the last time? Bears win the Super Bowl? Yeah, okay. Blackhawks win? Outside of sports. I mean, it's hard to think about. It really is.
Yeah.
A feel-good story like this. No one got hurt. It was an animal. The animal's still alive. It's going to lead a great retirement. Jeez. Wow. These animal people are a little cray-cray. I mean, I have a dog. I love pets, but this is an alligator. Okay? I know we got to... I don't know. Someone said, why don't you just shoot it with a bow and arrow or shoot it with a gun? It's like, no, you can't do that.
No.
No, you can't do that.
That's a small thing. I was expecting like a big alligator.
I know. Did you notice that? Did you see the press conference today?
I did.
Well, I felt bad.
A small alligator.
Here's the thing. You know, you have all these animal rights people. It's like, oh, you got to capture the alligator and, you know, put him off to retirement. So he has a great life. Well, it's a baby, first of all. So it's going to live a great life and eat. Wonderfully. But when they held it in front of the camera today.
Did you see the bow?
Yes, they had the bow and they had the first shot was the alligator's mouth open and then they tied the alligator's.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The mouth closed?
I don't know.
It's a small alligator. I expected a little bit bigger.
I know, me too.
Huh. It's too bad. Now it's over. So what do we do?
Find another alligator.
Did you go to Humboldt Park?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
But They put the fence up. And when they put the fence up, I'm like, I'm not going to drive over there.
No.
And once you go over there, what are you going to do?
Look for the alligator. I mean,
people are taking pictures.
Camp out.
People were taking pictures on Facebook. It looked like a rock was in the water. Did you see any of those?
I did not.
The top of the alligator. It's like you took a picture of the rock.
That's a little scary.
Sticking out of the water.
Though.
Yes, definitely. Andy, come here for a second before you go. Andy Mazur. I want to talk to Andy. I've never seen you. Here, sit right here at number four. I've never seen you so upset. I thought you were going to punch me when I went in to say hello.
I would never punch you. Come on.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a long time.
I
wouldn't do that to you.
Andy and I went to college together. For people that are just tuning in, Bradley University. I didn't know. Yeah.
Usually helps when you plug the headphones in.
Right. Yes, they work that way.
Radio 101. Yeah.
I'm sorry about the White Sox.
Yeah, it was
a tough one.
Yeah, the only thing I was upset about when I, not really upset, I was just frustrated because they were throwing the ball all over the ballpark again tonight.
What are you more worried about? Are you worried about the White Sox or Chance the Snapper?
Well, you know, Chance is in a good place already. You know, I mean, really, you know, Chance is going to be well taken care of, well fed.
Where does he go? Where do they put him?
Lincoln Park Zoo?
No, they're going to ship him out.
Lincoln Park Lagoon?
Is there a place where they send stray animals?
Well,
I'm sure there's, I mean, we didn't read to the bottom of the article, guys.
No,
I'm sure they're
going to
send it off somewhere.
Well, I mean, why don't you, bring it back to Florida where it's probably from, you know?
And what do you do? Throw him in a swamp?
Yeah, let him live.
They said he's going to be taken care of, and he's going
to
be...
Well, you know, maybe they just need to, get him strong and a little bigger, because...
And let him go?
When I saw that thing, I was like, that's it?
Well,
is that a bad reaction?
No, there's no alligators in Chicago, for the record.
That's what I mean.
So this thing, some idiot guy went to Florida, and he got a baby alligator.
Yep.
Okay, and he brought it back to Chicago, and after about a year, he's like, oh, this thing's too big.
Yeah.
I got to get rid of it.
Yeah, I can't keep it in my bathtub anymore.
Yeah, I can't show my friends. Yeah, I got to get rid of it, and dropped it off in Humboldt Park.
I had a poodle. Now it's not a poodle anymore.
No, it's not. Got to get rid of it.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange story. I mean, it was like Alligator Bob. Is that what they called him?
Alligator Bob.
Yeah, he was like the starter that went six innings.
I feel bad for him.
And then the guy from Florida came and goes, okay, get out of the way. I got
that
this.
That is a great analogy.
Yeah, I got this. Got the save. You know what I'm saying?
Lee Smith coming in and saving the game.
Yeah, but you have to give a little effort to Bob. I mean, it was a quality start. You know,
it really was.
Six innings, less than three runs.
But can you catch an alligator in a
boat?
Floating in a
canoe? I don't think so. Well, didn't the guy from Florida today say that, no, we have to, you got to get him from the shore. They set that thing out with the three hooks in it, it didn't hurt the animal at all, and they reeled him in.
God bless Alligator Bob. I heard him on John's show.
Yeah,
I thought he was great.
A couple days ago, yeah.
He knew what he was talking about, but you're a guy from Chicago. What do you know about catching alligators?
So here's how far that story reached.
Yeah.
Because I was in Oakland with the White Sox, and I've got a couple of friends who work for the A's. And one of the first things they said, I hadn't seen him in a while. They're like, hey, how you doing? What's with that alligator?
Right.
I'm like, are you kidding me? You guys heard about the alligator out here?
It was national news. It was on NBC National News today.
Yeah, so they knew about the alligator.
Right.
They knew it wasn't a crocodile.
Right.
Yeah, I have to go back to
Do you know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Here's a funny story about that, because there was this is going way back in the way back machine when Ron Santo was still with us and was in the broadcast booth. Matt Bolts and I had he got a fax about something about the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, and the difference is the crocodile has a broad snout,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of came out as broad snot, and of course the booth was forever up for grabs that day.
That's Ronnie.
But every time I think about the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, I think about Ronnie. You know, just because the crocodile's got the broader snout,
the broader snot.
Yeah.
Yes.
That too. You got a lot of Kleenex for that.
Right. You do.
You know what's funny? Chance the Rapper acknowledged Chance the Snapper
too
on Twitter today.
Okay.
He said, just landed and found out I got an alligator.
So is he going to be in the next Doritos commercial with the Backstreet Boys or whoever that is?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I love that commercial.
I snap it that way.
Has Chance been here to the station?
I don't think he has.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a challenge for you now. Get him in here.
Let me call him real quick.
I got his number.
Let's talk Gator.
Yeah. Talk Gator. I'm sure he's got to be excited about that.
Yeah.
Chance the Snapper. Who named Chance the Snapper, by the way?
I got to find out. That's a good question.
Oh.
I was wondering that, too.
Okay. Yeah, because there were a lot of people that were wondering why it would be called the Snapper, because it's not a turtle. It's, you usually think about snapping turtle.
Mm-hmm.
But alligators, I guess a crocodile, snap, an alligator, bite. You don't want to be around that when it snaps the right. jaws shut on you.
Yeah, they got the big teeth.
And it wouldn't, you know, go in, you know, line with Chance the. It would be something different because it wouldn't be the snapper. That see, is. How, see how astute I am about these things?
You are so good. You really are. Well, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Are you all good? We're coming back tomorrow
yeah,
with
I'm
White Sox baseball.
Yeah, I'm all good. I'll have your pregame tomorrow, 6:40. And
look at you jumping right into broadcast
four-game series.
We'll have your pregame tomorrow.
Ed and DJ will have the call starting at 7:15. Uh-huh. You're on your home for White Sox baseball.
Can I say this publicly? I loved when you did play-by-play.
Well, thank you.
I loved it. And you know this because I sent you text messages nonstop.
You did. I appreciate that.
I go, you sound so good.
And what I told you was I really enjoyed doing it. I hated the circumstances surrounding it.
Of course. Right.
Because, you know, Ed was a little under the weather, and obviously, you know, we're a team there, so we pinch hit for each other, and we, you know, pick each other up when they're not able to do it. And
sure.
It was a lot of fun. Those guys are awesome.
I feel like you'd pinch hit for me here.
Yeah, I would do that if you asked me to, very nicely.
Well,
I mean, we're longtime teammates.
You've never been to my house.
You've never been to mine.
I know. I want to
you
come
made
over.
Made fun of my grass. Although, hey, by the way, my grass is growing in the front.
What'd you do?
I turned things over to my tenant.
Really? Did he fertilize it?
He took really good care of it.
The backstory for this: we had Joe Polina. Chance the Rapper's on Fallon right now. That's hilarious.
Let's text him.
Joe Polina, the lawn guy from the suburbs, on, and we were talking about lawns,
and that was
lawn
shamed.
Was just terrible.
Yeah, that was lawn shamed.
It was rough stuff.
And I took it to heart and got it taken care of. I turned it over to people that knew how to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's great to see you.
So after the baseball season, I'll be over.
Okay. All right. Andy Mazur, everybody.
See ya.
Chance the Snapper is alive and well, and he's been captured. Hold on. Here is the segment today from NBC News.
The paparazzi out in force for a glimpse of Chicago's elusive celeb.
And we have some amazing news for the city of Chicago.
Chance the Snapper, all 5 green feet of him, was nabbed overnight after a week on the lam.
It is a beautiful, beautiful alligator.
When he was first spotted in a park, local volunteer Alligator Bob offered to track him down. Then specialist Frank Robb was imported from Gator Central, Florida, where gators belong.
Everybody's got different blessings. This is my blessing.
In the dead of night, suddenly he appeared and was snagged with a fishing rod, unharmed.
He should run for office here. I think he'd probably win.
Chicago's resident reptile now awaiting a new home in a zoo or sanctuary, and his claw print on the Walk of Fame.
WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios talking about Chance the Snapper, the alligator that's been caught, how it brought the city together for about 2 weeks. It was nice. It really was. Chance the Rapper is on Jimmy Fallon tonight, and he was talking about the alligator.
Are you afraid or honored that there's an alligator on the loose in Chicago? This is real. There's an alligator on the loose in Chicago, and they called it Chance the Snapper.
Yes.
And this is real, and this is, look.
It's a real thing.
That's the alligator's face. That's Chance the Snapper.
See its face? Looks crazy.
Now he's saved. He's okay. He's going to be in the zoo. Do you have any words for Chance if he's watching?
Oh, yeah, man. Keep your head up. They got you locked down. They can have your body, but they can't have your mind.
Fantastic. Wow, that's beautiful words.
I'm telling you, this is bringing everybody together, and it's made it on Fallon. Crazy. It does bother me that Frank Robb said no to the show tonight. Maybe because he was half in the bag. VD, this is why he threw out the first pitch and he was drinking beer at the Cub game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why he didn't want to come on
tonight. I guess
tonight.
To party.
I'm telling you, this alligator makes everybody happy. What's going to bring us together now? We got nothing left. It's all down here from here, folks. It's rough stuff. Yes, all depressing. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Josh Hill from Fansided.com. The Emmy nominations came out. Vivi watches one show that we talked about. Your show was nominated across the board. Don't say the name of it because you can't on the on the radio, but your show was nominated. And you'll be surprised at some people that got snubbed, so we'll talk about that right after 11 o'clock with Josh at 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios just after 11 o'clock. Emmy Awards were announced this morning. Let's run through them with our old buddy from the website fansided.com. It is Josh Hill. Great to talk to you again, man. How are you?
I'm great to talk to you, too. It's been a while. Finally have something to talk about now. I feel entertainment. The Emmys are here.
Oh, boy. Before we talk about the Emmys, Josh, let me ask you, what TV shows are you watching right now?
Well, right now I'm actually rewatching Breaking Bad, so that's that's a perfect little segue into the Better Call Saul, which is actually what I think is the best show on TV right now. That would be the one that I recommend to everybody as the current show to really be on, because now we live in a post Game of Thrones world. So right. Really, anything, it's a wide open field. That Better Call Saul is, to me, probably the best show on TV, but that's usually what I can be found watching.
Well, I love Better Call Saul, but sometimes it gets a little slow for me. And the whole storyline with his brother and the electricity thing sometimes gets a little old, too.
Yeah, well, Breaking Bad thrived on those in-between moments. I mean, we had an entire episode of that show where they were trying to kill a plot. So I wouldn't put it past the creators of either of those shows to slow things down.
Right, Vince Gilligan. And by the way, did you get sucked in on Twitter with Bryan Cranston and the other dude from Breaking Bad the last few weeks?
Aaron Paul.
Did you follow that?
I did, and I will not be buying their mezcal because I'm so disappointed that it was all a ruse.
Well, just to let people know, they were tweeting how they had a project together, and they were both announcing that it was coming very, very soon. And what was it?
It was mezcal. They're getting together
it's booze.
To sell liquor to all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
It was booze. Everybody thought it was going to be a Breaking Bad movie, and it turned out to be booze that they're doing together. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they are making the Breaking Bad movie, but that's just AMC, and it had nothing to do with this. So.
Okay, so is the Breaking Bad movie going to happen?
All signs point to it. We'll see. It's supposed to follow Jesse in his post-Walter White world, but
right.
I don't know. That's one of those things where we don't need a movie sequel. Just let it be. Let it be what it is. Don't mess with the legacy.
I know, but we always want more. They were talking, they asked Jennifer Aniston a few weeks ago if you would like to see a Friends reunion, and she opened the door, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, they had a bunch of friends that lived together in their 20s, and now they're 50. We don't want to see that on TV. I don't want to see an old, fat Matthew Perry on television. I'm sorry. I like to see the skinny, funny Chandler. That's what I like to see. Yes, some things just need to remain. I'm with you. All right, let's talk about the Emmy Awards. First of all, can we go through the Outstanding Comedy Series? Because I wanted to bring this up because Vivi doesn't watch any TV. She watches one show. And we can't say, it's got two names. We can't say the first part, but I'm going to say S. Creek is one of the shows that are nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series.
The best show.
Yeah, it's one of the more underrated shows, I would say. Underrepresented, too, because it's one of those flying under the radar series. Not everybody's talking about it. It's not part of the cultural conversation. But it's a fantastic show, and it's nice to see the Emmys dig deep. It almost feels like a deep cut nomination to go for a show that's not on a network channel. It's not on a major streaming service. To get that recognized, it feels a really cool thing for the Emmys to have done. I don't know if it's going to win, but it's cool that it's up for at least to be part of the conversation around the award season.
Now, where is it? Where can I find it? Is it on Amazon Prime? Is it on Netflix? Where is it?
Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, got it. Outstanding Comedy Series. You had Barry, Fleabag, The Good Place, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Russian Doll, S. Creek, and Veep. Of course, Veep's going to win, don't you think?
I would think so. I feel like this is kind of a legacy award, and it's been running away with a lot of these comedy categories throughout its entire run. I don't want to say that it's underrated, but it's not as popular as some of the other shows that you would consider to be titanic comedies of this past decade. Okay, it's up there, but it's not quite on the level of like a Big Bang Theory or something that's been in the conscience of the public for a long time, but it's still a very fantastic show. I would think that it wins because it's the final season, but I wouldn't put it past the voters to go with something a little more current, something that maybe has more legs for the future, like a Fleabag, which was completely shut out last year and has now made a nice little resurgence this year, or something like Russian Doll, which was a huge, very memeable thing to the Twitterverse. Maybe they want to get on board with kind of a younger audience being interested in the Emmys. I could see them going that way.
Josh, I don't even know what Fleabag and Russian Doll is. What are those shows, and where are they?
Well, Fleabag, they're both Netflix products.
Okay.
Fleabag is a British television show, and those typically don't do well at the Emmys if you're talking about your comedies or your dramas. That's more of a mini-series type of category that you usually see these British shows come up, like Sherlock, because they're usually longer episodes. They're usually closer to miniseries, where Fleabag feels much more sitcom-y in a way that Masters of None is, or Girls was, where it's kind of, it's a sitcom disguised as a dramedy. That's a really great show. And, of course, Russian Doll, I'd forgotten about it until I saw the nomination, so maybe that doesn't really necessarily bode well for it, but it was a cultural moment, and I feel like it's getting its due, which is really good. Natasha Lyonne is in that, and she made her big comeback with that, so that was really cool to see.
Outstanding comedy series, Barry on HBO. Bill Hader, the guy from Saturday Night Live that did all the impressions, he plays a, what is he? He's a serial killer, right? Not a serial killer. He's
the hitman.
Yes, he's a hitman, and he's taken an acting class, and the acting coach is Henry Winkler, the Fonz. And you would think that the hitman taking an acting class wouldn't work, but it is so funny, and you can't turn it, and it's only 30 minutes, which is even more wonderful.
Yeah, it's a real testament to Bill Hader, to what kind of characters he can create. I mean, we saw him create all sorts of characters on Saturday Night Live, to which he also won Emmys for.
Right.
But now to kind of have this legacy character, and to have the Fonz next to him, too. I mean, it's fantastic. We're crossing multiple generations here. It's kind of a passing of the torch of a weird, quirky, cool to another weird, quirky, cool.
Henry Winkler is so funny in Barry because at some point you can tell when he's overacting, and it's just funny to see him do it. Just being there. He's so good. I just love him. It was good. Outstanding comedy series. Okay, outstanding drama series. You have Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, Ozark, and Pose. What is Pose? What show is this?
Pose is on FX. It's a show that really focuses on, and really it's one of the first shows to go deep into the gay and the transsexual side of nightlife. It's a really LGBTQ-friendly show. And it's reminiscent of when FX had this golden era at the beginning of the decade, when they were throwing out shows left and right that seemed to really hit on the cusp of, you know, the Nip Tucks of the previous decade, and when they came in hard with Sons of Anarchy, and they really made a name for themselves. Pose is right back in there with that. And I was surprised to see it nominated because I felt it flew under the radar a little bit too much, but it was really nice to see it get nominated because it's up there now in a conversation with Game of Thrones and This Is Us and shows that everybody's talking about. Now we can maybe have more people have a conversation like this where they're like, what is Pose? That might be pretty interesting for me to go and check out.
Well, we're all looking for shows to binge watch. So Pose, I just marked it down on my list. But, of course, outstanding drama series. You probably want Better Call Saul to win this category.
I do, but it's not going to. I mean, this is
Game of
one
Thrones?
Of the worst kept secrets. Yeah. Game of Thrones is going to not only win this category, but it's gonna clean up pretty significantly this year. We saw Breaking Bad, which we've mentioned already, but Mad Men, The Sopranos,
yeah,
shows that the Oscars do this too. I mean, they waited until the third Lord of the Rings movie to give it Best Picture because it's more of a thank you to Game of Thrones and to Weiss and Benioff and HBO to say thank you for this show that has become a pop culture phenomenon, a capital E event that everybody has to be involved with.
Yep.
So this is really what it's going to be. It's going to be a thank you from the Emmys to Game of Thrones, which is unfortunate because if you take Game of Thrones out of this category, what wins? I mean, it's a complete toss-up. So really having Game of Thrones in here, it's good to say goodbye, but also it's a little frustrating because the last season wasn't that great. And now we're going to be faced with a scenario where everybody's going to say, why was that in the season that we have to remember, and so on and so forth.
Right. Ozark with Jason Bateman. I love this series on Netflix. He is an accountant from Chicago. So the first two shows in the series is all Chicago. He's running through the streets. They show Marina Towers. It's fantastic. And he is such a great actor. So likable.
He's fantastic. And Ozark, it'd be really nice to see it get recognized outside of just the nomination. It would really be cool if we saw an upset. We won't. But it would be cool to see an upset where Game of Thrones doesn't win. And one of these other shows does, kind of as a way to say, look, Game of Thrones is over. Instead of seeing it off into the sunset, let's make this other show arrive in its wake and say, everybody needs to watch this. Because if you imagine if Ozark wins best drama over the last season of Game of Thrones, everybody's talking about it. Everybody is watching it. And everybody's like, what is this show? Mm-hmm. Is this the Game of Thrones replacement that we want? That won't happen, but it would be cool to see like a Succession or a Killing Eve kind of take up the mantle and, yep, you know, pass the torch to a new show.
Right. Josh, hold on a second. I got to take a quick break and we'll do the lightning round. I'll just ask you, who do you are going to win these next categories? Okay. Quick
All
break.
All right, let's do it.
Josh Hill, where can they follow you on Twitter?
J. Dave Hill on Twitter.
J. Dave Hill on Twitter. Josh Hill from Fansided.com talking Emmy Awards. We'll do more next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're talking Emmy Awards with Josh Hill from the website Fansided.com. All right, we're backing up to 11:30 news. Are you ready to run through these real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series. Who do you think is going to win here?
Kit Harington, Game of Thrones. That's, I mean, it has to be.
Really? Is Game of Thrones just going to take every single award?
I think so. I mean, they nominated him in Best Actor for a very specific reason, when he's only been nominated one other time, and it was Supporting Actor. I feel like this is going to be the send-off for Game of Thrones.
Okay. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series.
As much as I want Sandra Oh to win for Killing Eve, it's going to be Emilia Clarke for Game of Thrones. But it's worth noting that Robin Wright was nominated for House of Cards, even though everybody forgot there was a last season of that show.
I was going to ask you about that.
She's been nominated for Best Actress.
Did you watch that? Because I didn't watch the final season.
I did. I didn't watch it when it came out because I, like everybody else, kind of forgot because it flew under the radar. But she's fantastic in it. I mean, as bad as that season was and as bad as the series got, she remains very fantastic. So all credit due to her.
She is so good. By the way, House of Cards, when you look at Robin Wright, she's just a wonderful actress. But I can't focus on her acting because I look at that little hole on her throat. You know what I'm talking about? Because she's so thin. It's so odd, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's taken away from the plot storyline now. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series or a movie?
Jared Harris, Chernobyl. Chernobyl's going to kind of have this True Detective thing to it. It really reminds me of when the Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson True Detective season came out, where nobody really saw it coming, and then it exploded into this huge thing. He's going to take the cake for that.
I thought you were going to say Mahershala Ali from True Detective when he played three different characters. He was so good.
He was. He was fantastic, but I'm sure he'll win another Oscar someday. I don't think his Emmy win is going to come here, though.
Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series.
Bill Hader. We just talked about how fantastic he is.
So he's good.
He has to win this. He's going to start another streak here.
So Eugene Levy is not going to win for the S Creek show on Netflix?
No, I don't see it happening.
Okay. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy series?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, last season of Veep. She beat cancer, so this is going to be a really, really special moment for her, I think, and for everybody. So this is that's your standing ovation. It's going to be the big emotional moment of the night where she gets on the stage and wraps up her run, which has been phenomenal on Veep, and kind of establishes herself as being here when we didn't know if she was going to be just a year ago.
Do you follow Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Instagram?
I do. She's a great follow.
I love her. And I love her even more since I started following her on Instagram. She's so good. She's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding Variety Talk Series. Jimmy Fallon not nominated.
No, and that's not necessarily surprising to me because he's been surpassed in the late night game, it seems. John Oliver is the king of late night to me. He's on only once a week and dominates the conversation. I think that he and his writing staff really deserve the Emmy win. I think it's coming their way.
Okay. All right. That's about it, man. I mean, there's so many categories. This is happening, and you're going to forget about this, and then it's going to come up in early September, and you're going to say, oh, I remember hearing Josh on Pete's show on WGN. Look at, he picked these winners. Okay. I like that.
That's right. That's right. And we'll keep tuning in for more insight.
I love it. Thank you, brother. Thanks for coming on, man. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. I always love coming on.
All right. Josh Hill from fansided.com. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks.
All right. He's the best, man. He really is. Emmy nominations. By the way, the Emmy Awards. Hold on. I have it right here. It's early September. No, it's not early September. It's September 22nd at 7 p.m. September 22nd. Okay. By the way, today marks the 20th anniversary of JFK Jr.'s death. When the plane went down 20 years ago, that small plane, 20 years ago, I was on the radio here in Chicago on a radio station, WCKG, and a young reporter from Fox News, Brett Baer, came on my show because he was covering that story. We're going to talk to Brett in a second. Right after news, Brett Baer from Fox News, and we'll talk about the 20th anniversary of JFK Jr.'s death. But first, time for news. 20 years ago today, JFK Jr. passed away in that small plane crash near Martha's Vineyard. It was 20 years ago today that Brett Baer was covering the plane crash for Fox News, and I had him on my radio show 20 years ago during this ordeal, and he joins us now. It's Brett Baer. Brett, I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I know.
I mean, it's just crazy. People forget, by the way, that this went on for 3 days. This wasn't a one-day thing.
No, in fact, you know, we arrived on the island as the search was continuing. And remember, I mean, there was this mystery that just didn't show up. They took off from New Jersey, a little small airport, and then JFK Jr. at the controls goes into this, you know, basically a fog bank and clouds, and later find out that they think he just lost orientation, spatial disorientation, crashes into the water. They don't find those bodies for 2 days.
And they found the luggage first, right? The luggage washed up, and then they knew that it was a plane crash.
Yeah, and luggage first, and then they eventually found the plane, and the bodies of all three were still strapped into their seats.
John had no business behind the wheel of that plane. He had a broken ankle that he was recovering from. He couldn't read instruments, and it was a different plane from what he trained on.
Yeah, I mean, he was not trained on that particular plane, but also he wasn't trained to just go in on instruments.
Right.
You know, if the fog or the clouds prevented his visual sight. So, yeah, it was really a devastating moment, not only for obviously the Kennedys who dealt with tragedy all throughout their family life, but the nation really was watching and mourning not only his loss, but the kind of the loss for the family.
Well, you're a student of history. We're talking to Brett Baer from Fox News. You know, you've written a few books. This guy was stressed to the max. His marriage was falling apart. George Magazine was tanking. His best friend and cousin, Anthony, was dying of cancer. And those 3 days, people were hoping that he was still alive because they didn't want to mourn the death of Camelot.
That's right. And that image as a little boy, him saluting his father's casket as it went by after the assassination was played over and over again as they were searching for the body of JFK Jr. So yeah, it was bigger than just that moment, but the tragedy was overwhelming at that time. And Martha's Vineyard, I mean, you could just feel the pain that family was going through. They were on their way to their cousin's wedding,
yeah,
which was supposed to be that weekend.
When you made it to that area, did you have a feeling that there were no survivors?
Yeah, I mean, we got on the ground, talked to the authorities, and they said it just didn't look good. They didn't have definitive word yet. That was before the luggage was coming up, and it was just a matter of days. You talk to the locals, they said there's no way.
Right.
They would be able to survive.
What is it with the love affair with the Kennedys?
You know, I think at the time, it was the first family that had that kind of Hollywood stardom kind of feel to it. They were obviously beautiful people, but they had a young family. And at the time, after the years of Eisenhower, who was, I wrote a book about, but he was treated as kind of this dawdling grandfather type, even though he did huge things and changed a lot for our country. The transition to the Kennedys was stark. And at the time, we were just starting into the TV generation where, you know, people were really getting attracted to the visual of the Camelot Kennedy family.
Right. And Jackie O didn't want any pictures taken at the White House. But when she left, there's that iconic picture of John coming out from underneath the desk that the photographer snapped where JFK is sitting behind the desk. That's what people fell in love with.
Yeah. And, you know, kids running around the White House, it's a rarity. We haven't seen it that much. And it's something that I think that it endeared the Kennedys to a whole generation.
Right. And it only lasted, what, 2.5 years?
Very short.
Yeah.
Very short. But the legacy and, you know, it transitioned all the way down to other Kennedys. And JFK Jr. was trying to make something happen with the George magazine, and it just never took off.
Are politics that sexy where he wanted to make George magazine what Rolling Stone was to music? I don't think politics are that sexy.
Yeah. You know, like the White House Correspondents' Dinner used to be where all these stars came, and it was kind of called the nerd prom, because it's really not that sexy. You need to import Hollywood to get the star power. But it was an ambitious thing, that magazine, and at first it took off and then just fell apart.
Do you think at first it took off is because of John Jr.?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Of course. I mean, I think the year before he was named Sexiest Man Alive by People magazine.
Right.
Yeah, he had the it power, and everybody was thinking he was going to run for office sometime shortly thereafter. He was only 38 when he died.
God, that's just crazy. He didn't even make it to 40. I mean, yeah. And he had the weight of the world on his back, too. That poor guy.
Yeah, it was rough stuff. And it was, you know, I was in the Atlanta Bureau at the time, and I was called up to Martha's Vineyard to cover it for Fox. So I did a whole bunch of stories about the search and obviously all of the developments, not only for Fox News Channel, but Fox affiliates around the country.
Wow. Look at you. You've grown up.
That was 2.5 years after I got there. So I got to Fox 23 years ago.
I want to take a quick break, and I want to talk about this past weekend, too, with you, okay?
All right.
All right. We're talking to Brett Baer from Fox News Channel at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We're talking to Brett Baer from Fox News Channel. This past weekend was the American Century Championship. How did you do in the golf tournament, Brett?
I did okay, but I left a lot on the bone, a lot of chicken on the bone. It was I ran into a buzzsaw coming in, and could have been a lot better, but had a really good time. It was an amazing time, and there's some good golfers out there. There's some competition.
I was on a text thread with you and Jeremy Roenick, and there was a lot of trash talking, and there was a side bet made, and I want to bring up JR right now, number 27, future Hall of Famer, Jeremy Roenick. JR, I'm looking at the leaderboard. Where did you finish?
Hey, what's up, man? I finished seventh, PD. I finished seventh. And again, kind of the same that that Brett was just talking about. I couldn't make a putt to save my life. And I don't know if it was me or did you find the greens really tough to putt this last weekend, Brett?
Yeah, I had a four putt, JR. I had a four putt. Oh. I never four putt.
God forbid.
Oh, my God. But listen, we had a great time. It was great seeing Brett. We both put up our best chances at the karaoke contest. And Brett again impressed everybody with his ability to be very diverse in his and he beat me for $100 after the last three holes, and I had to pay him right before Sunday's round, which killed me. But we had a great
time. Sure. But let me just say that Jeremy had He came in seventh. I think I was 15th or something.
17th, Brett. 17th. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. 17th. So now I have to host him at my home course, which I'm happy to do. And he also beat me in the karaoke contest. I came in third. He came in second.
Okay. Now, last year you did, Brett, you did Rapper's Delight. What did you do this year?
This year, the head of American Century, Jonathan Thomas, texted me and said, why don't you try something different? And he said, you should do this song, Old Town Road.
Oh, boy.
It was a little tough in the high altitude.
Oh, yeah.
And then the teleprompter went out, so I had to do a little ad-libbing.
JR.
Which was absolutely spectacular, too, by the way. And I did Bust a Move by Young MC.
Oh.
And had Catherine Tappan be my backup. And the only problem that happened with me is they made me go first. It was still light out. I could still see everybody's faces. Nobody's had a drink yet. Nobody was in party mood yet. I was like, come on. But I still play second. So
he nailed it. It was like a five-minute song. It's crazy.
Why do they make you guys sing every year? I know you come out and you do the golf tournament, but it seems like everybody has to sing.
We're hams. We're total hams. No, it's a volunteer thing. And it's a good night.
JR, can you sing?
Just ask me. That's all you need to know. I'm amazing. You put me in front of other people, and all of a sudden, like, something happens to my voice, and it just goes into some other demonized voice, which I don't hear with my ears, I guess. I don't know.
Wow. JR, let me ask you, did you get a chance to see Tony Romo golf?
I didn't. I didn't watch anything except where I was. I got to play with Mike Modano, Joe Podolsky.
Okay.
Great players, but I didn't watch anybody else. I think next year, Brett, you and I have to play together because we'll make each other feel so much more comfortable, we'll shut the world off, and then we'll go the lights out.
Exactly. I played with Miles Teller, which was fun. John O'Hurley. I played with Case Keenum, quarterback of the Redskins.
Sure.
Carson Palmer and Tim Wakefield. I played with all those guys.
Tony Romo won the tournament. Is he that good?
Yes.
Yeah, he's good.
Yes.
There's a lot of good golfers out there, Petey. There's a lot of good guys that can win that golf tournament, which makes it, you know, more competitive and more fun. But, you know, it's going to be the best competitive golf is when I'm going out to play with Brett in September, because that's when I'm going to come out and see him and take him up on his bet. I cannot wait.
Definitely.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I'd like to think I brought you two together.
I think so.
We've been together. We've been together. We've seen eye to eye and had a very close relationship for over a year now since I met him last year at the championship.
I'd like to think I tipped it in and exchanged phone numbers for you too. JR, you never give me credit. This is why I'm pushing it.
Hey, listen, why change now? We do love you though.
JR, I'm going to see you for the Blackhawks convention weekend, right? You're coming to town?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm actually coming to town tomorrow. I'll be at John Lester's event. And we'll have a blast there, and I'll be at the Blackhawks convention a week from Saturday in the afternoon.
I love it. I'll send you a text tomorrow. Brett, are we going to see you in Chicago anytime soon?
You know, I might be coming in August to see the fam, and if I do, I'll give you a ring.
Love it. Brett Baer, Fox News, Jeremy Roenick, JR. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. See you, Brett.
Have a
great night. Take care.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road to Chicago's Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier this summer for The Wizard of Oz, a magical 75-minute musical for the whole family. And meet the cast for photos after the show. Enter to win four tickets at WGNradio.com/contests.
Whether you're watching TV or listening to music, Menards has everything you need for your best entertainment experience. Save 11% off over 150 stock RCA audio and video accessories. You can get everything you need from audio and video cables to universal remotes and even high-definition TV antennas. Save 11% off everything to complete your project at Menards now through July 20th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With dental implants from Eon Clinics, you'll start every day with a smile. Smile and stop trying to hide your mouth. Smile and eat your favorite foods again. The world is a better place when you start smiling again. For a free consultation, call 844-365-SMILE or online at eonclinics.com today. That's EONclinics.com. Dental implants from Eon Clinics. Smile for life.
Attention investors, not earning 18 to 21%? Then you're losing. Big time. National Realty's Class A Property Fund includes only prime income producing property, built far below market value. You're secured, you're recession proof with large apartment buildings. You're diversified with income streams from multiple buildings. You have 100% of free cash flows paid to you first. This portfolio has $600 million in new construction equity value in Brooklyn, Hoboken, the Jersey, Gold Coast, and Delray Beach, Florida. National's 12-year track record of proven success with $800 million of property under management is based on prime income property only. Stop recession risk and stock market churn with diversified 18 to 21% returns for IRAs or cash flow. Once you see these Class A locations, you'll wonder what took you so long to call. Call 201-210-2727. That's 201-210-2727. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first and invest wisely. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. National is a real estate development firm. See us at NRIA.net.
The exploration of space will go ahead, and it is one of the great adventures of all time.
Tomorrow, our Space Week celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing continues.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The Steve Coppin Show is proud to welcome Apollo legend Jim Lovell.
For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon, and to the planets beyond.
Tomorrow on 720 WGN.
Trending now.
Steve, we have some breaking news. The alligator in Humboldt Park Lagoon has been captured.
Alligator eluding police and animal control officials for a week. Chicago police confirming Tuesday morning they got their gator.
Third exclusive interview with the gator from Humboldt Park.
Will you be going into gator protective custody?
They're trying to get me to flip on other gators in the area.
Never miss a story on 720 WGN.
Jean-Baptiste Pointe-du-Sable, Richard J. Daley, Daniel Burnham. These are the great names in Chicago history. Add to that list, Crocodile Frank.
I thought it was an alligator.
Don't screw this up.
He'll be here to play News or Ruse with us.
At 6 o'clock.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
All right, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Brett Baer, Jeremy Roenick. And by the way, just for the record, I did bring those two together. We had JR, Jane and I had JR in the studio on a Sunday, and we called up Brett, and JR went all fangirl on him. And that was about a year ago. I'm the great connector, Vivi. You should know that. I connect
right?
people.
Okay.
This is what I do. We're in Chicago. We're one person away from everybody on the planet. This is what I do.
That's a good way to look at it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend on your phone a week?
A week? Oh, my God.
How about a day? How much time did you spend? You know, pick up your phone right now. How much time did you spend on your phone today?
Oh,
it tells you. You know how to do it?
No, I don't.
You go to settings.
Okay.
That little gray thing, and then you click on battery, and you scroll down on battery.
Hold on. Okay, battery, and then it scrolled down on battery. Okay.
You clicked on battery?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
oh my
and
gosh.
It says screen
okay.
time. How much did you spend on
So, today, I spent 5 hours and 28 minutes on
oh,
the phone.
Oh, no!
Why?
I spent 5 hours and 38 minutes!
Woohoo! What? I win!
Oh, wait a second. That can't be right.
Why?
5 hours and 38 minutes on my phone.
It says I used Instagram 22%. Facebook 14% and messages 10%.
38% were text messages today.
Okay.
Because I was going back and forth with my wife. By the way, guys, if you have a wife, do you ever talk to her on the phone? My wife never calls me. She'll have a full conversation on text message. I'm like, Sarah, if we have to go over, if we have to text each other more than 3 times, that's the rule. You got to call me up.
That's fine.
She's like, I don't have time to talk. I go, well, you have time to text. It's much more efficient.
My boyfriend and I, we text, but we call more than we text. We talk to each other on the phone more than we text. That's a rule for me. I mean, I can't text.
You talk on the phone more than you text.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not a texter. I'm not.
It drives me crazy. I know you're not.
Yeah, I just rather. Yeah,
it takes you forever to get back to me.
I'm sorry, my apologies.
That's the thing. Everybody has their phone now. We want immediate feedback when you send somebody a text message. Oh, my God, it's been 10 minutes. This person must not like me anymore.
It just, I find it funny when the other person has the red receipts and they read it, but they don't reply back. Doesn't that drive you nuts?
Yeah.
Like, don't have the red receipts on your phone.
You know, you can take that off.
I know you can, but some
messages
people don't.
Messages red. I never tell people to because I want them to keep it that way. Because if I send them a text message, I want to see if they've read it.
So do you?
You're right. Okay, so what was your time today? How much did you spend on your phone?
5 hours and 28 minutes.
5:28.
So I beat you.
That was 5 hours and 32. Is that right? Wait, where?
I thought you said 38.
5 hours and 38. I was 10 minutes more than you. That really bums me out. But it's because
you were expecting like 16 hours and like.
I really was. I was. Wow. I mean, I was on everything today. What do you think the average kid spends on a phone per day?
What age group are we looking at?
We're looking at kids between teenagers.
Gosh, I'd probably say maybe 8 hours. 8 to 10 hours.
I would think that too.
Yeah.
They said the kids are spending 30 hours a week on phones. That seems low. That's 4 hours a day. 4.2. It comes out to be. That's got to be wrong.
Mm-mm.
Because my son, Charlie, who just turned 14, doesn't watch TV. He watches everything off YouTube. He's not watching television. So if he's watching YouTube there, it's got to be much higher than that. That can't be right.
No, I doubt it.
And this 5 hours and 38 minutes can't be right with me. It can't. Maybe it's because I was preparing for the show today.
What about previous days? It shows you like a timeline.
It does? Where does,
yeah.
it say?
It shows you a graph at the top.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Oh,
and
wow.
And it tells you what day and how many hours.
Last 10 days.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. My average time. Wow.
What is it?
My average for the last 10 days is 5 hours and 41 minutes.
I mean, is that bad? I don't think that's bad.
I do everything on my phone, though. I do emails. I do, we share a document for the show so we know what guests are coming up. Like, we booked Brett Baer at 11:35 and Jeremy Roenick was coming on at 11:45.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on a shared doc. I work on my phone on that, and I share it with you. See, I'm trying to justify this. That's why I'm saying it out loud.
This is the craziest one. So on Wednesday, apparently, last week, I used my phone for 13 hours and 2 minutes.
13?
13 hours.
What are you doing?
I have no idea. Now I'm just trying to figure out what I did that day. What was happening on Wednesday?
13? You must have left it on. How many hours are you awake?
Oh, I don't know. I'm awake for the majority of the day.
13 hours on your phone. I thought I had a problem. Wow. Since we do the night show here, sometimes we have to record an interview, especially a big one. Earlier tonight, I recorded an interview with author Stephen Gillen. He's the guy that wrote the book America's Reluctant Prince. It is the 20th anniversary of JFK's death. And he wrote this book. He was JFK Jr.'s friend. And we'll play that back right after 12 o'clock.
A dark day for America.
Crews continue to try to reclaim the bodies of John Kennedy Jr.
Most popular of America's political royalty.
The Kennedy and Bessette family bury the crash victims at sea.
20 years after his death, there's a new book out entitled America's Reluctant Prince, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr. His friend, Stephen Gillen, joins us right now. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
You know, it's been 20 years. You look back. What's the first thing that comes to mind with John?
Oh, I miss his sense of humor. One of the things that, in private, you always laughed when you were with John. He had so much energy, so much love of life. You know, being with John was like drinking 8 espressos. I mean, he just energized people around him, and that's what I think of. I think of, don't dwell on his death. I dwell on the life that he lived and the warmth and the generosity and the humor that he brought to my life.
The great struggle in John's life was what? You write about it in your book.
It was to create his own identity separate from that of his family, separate from that of his father. John told me that he was two people, that he was just John, a typical privileged member of his generation, But he played a role his entire life, and that role was as John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., the son of a beloved slain president. So John, he wanted to know who he was, separate from all these expectations that had been imposed upon him. You know, that day, on November 25th, 1963, on his third birthday, when he salutes his father's casket, I think all the unfulfilled hopes and expectations of his father's presidency transferred to John. And people saw John as the person who was one day was going to bring Camelot back to life. And John grew up with all those expectations imposed upon him by his family, by the public. And John needed to, and he needed to forge his own identity separate from that. And I think that's the great achievement of John's life. When we think about the Kennedys, we think of all the public service, and we think of public accomplishments. But with John, his greatest accomplishment was private. It was his ability to forge his own identity in the wake of all this, these expectations that were imposed upon him. And he turned out to be an incredibly normal, unpretentious, decent, generous human being.
Right. I think that's why we all could relate. We're talking with Stephen Gillen. The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince is the name of the book. Let's go back to 1999, the final year of his life. How stressed was John Jr.? All the different threads in his life are coming to a head. George Magazine losing money, his marriage, according to tabloids, on the rocks. Should he run for political office? What was it like?
I think those last couple months of John's life were among the most difficult he had experienced. And one of the things I want to do in the book is humanize John. You know, I don't want people just to remember him as this guy who is on the cover of magazines. John was very much like the rest of us. I mean, he struggled with a lot of things. And as you mentioned, in that last year, his marriage was in a very difficult spot. John was living at the Stanhope Hotel those last two nights before he died. George Magazine, Hachette, his business partner, had told him that they were pulling out, and so John was flying around the country trying to raise money. And I think what weighed on John the most was his best friend and cousin, Anthony Rodswell, was dying of cancer. So these are really difficult. And the thing is, I knew John during that period, and I knew these things were going on. I never understood just how bad it was. Because John, you would never know it. Despite that, the burden of dealing with all these problems, John never lost his love of life and his sense of humor.
Well, he wanted George Magazine to be to politics what Rolling Stone was to music, but are politics that sexy, or was it that sexy?
It's the whole idea behind George. You know, John lived his life at the intersection between politics and popular culture. So his idea was, John had this very noble notion that politics was a noble profession, and that most of the people who go into politics were good people with good intentions. He saw how the media turned his uncle, Ted, into this caricature. It was nothing like the person he knew. So John wanted to humanize these people, and George was the vehicle for doing that. I think it was a very naive idea, and the magazine never really found that sweet spot.
Stephen, the biggest story of 1999 was, of course, the Clinton impeachment. George Magazine didn't touch it. Why was that?
Well, they did some minor stories, but this hit home for John. At this point, we knew that his father had engaged in behavior that went far beyond what Bill Clinton did. And so John did not want Clinton to be judged based on his personal behavior, just as he did not want his father to be judged based on his personal behavior. So he was really reluctant to pursue the story. And the staff, the editors, kept pushing him and pushing him, but John just did not want to go there. John believed that presidents should be judged by their policies and by what the hope that they give the country, and not based on their personal behavior. So it was a really difficult story for John to cover.
Did you like John's wife, Carolyn Kennedy?
I didn't know her very well. I had a really odd encounter with her, which I talk about in the book, where I was standing in their kitchen reading a letter that Hachette had written John, which is a scathing letter. And Carolyn was just screaming at John. To me, she seemed unhinged. So I didn't know her well enough to form an opinion about whether I liked her or not, but she was in a really difficult spot. Paparazzi were abusing her, and their relationship was spiraling out of control.
Stephen Gillen, a few more minutes with Stephen Gillen, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince. I want to ask you about two more things. Kennedy's odd relationship with the tabloid press. He didn't like being in the spotlight, but when he wasn't in, he followed People magazine and Page Six, and when he wasn't in the spotlight, he would run over to Central Park and take off his shirt, and he would know for sure that he would be on Page Six or in People.
That's right. That, you know, his mom was the same way, that they wanted their privacy when they wanted it, but they really wanted to make sure they were still in the news. So I used to call John, I used to tell him he was reverse Superman, that, you know, Superman goes into a phone booth and puts his uniform on, John goes into a phone booth and takes his shirt off.
The guy was always in the spotlight. Did he like being in the spotlight, or didn't he like being in the spotlight? Because I can't tell.
It's a double-edged sword. I think, he did. He did not want to fade away. He had grown up being in the spotlight. It was just woven into the fabric of his life.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, and it was under control until he got married. And once he got, John really believed that once he got married, that a lot of the paparazzi would go away, that he was no longer the America's most eligible bachelor. He wouldn't be the sexiest man alive anymore. But instead, the interest just intensified, and it became really difficult for him once he got married, because Carolyn was struggling with the paparazzi.
Right.
And John
was
fiercely protective of her.
The press conference outside Jackie O's building when Jackie passed away, John walked out, was very stoic, very matter-of-fact, gave the info, no emotion. It was like he had a job to do to tell America that his mother had died, and then he walked away. I feel like there was two sides to John. There was the public side, the very stoic, and then there was the private, fun John.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, John told me that he was two people, that he was just John, you know, another privileged member of his generation. But he had a role to play, and the role he had to play was as John F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the beloved slain president. So in public, that's the role that he played. In private, he was completely different. I mean, John, the thing I remember most about John is his sense of humor. He was just funny. He was a great mimic. He liked making fun of people, especially me. He liked being the brunt of a joke. But he let his guard down in private. But in public, he played that role. He was John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., and that's the role he played. He went back into the apartment, and he broke down and cried.
20 years later, people are still deeply affected by John's death. Why is that?
I think especially for that generation that knew his father and remembered the salute. They saw John. For them, John was more than just a celebrity. He had all this other sort of emotions that were tied into that. So I think John was more than just a celebrity. I think for a younger generation, he was a celebrity. But for an older generation, he represented so much more. And that's why when John died, it was a double death. It was not only did John die, but Camelot died with him. And any hope that Camelot would be revived died with him. So we mourned John, and we also mourned his father once again.
You write in the book, when he salutes the casket, you believe that's when the burden of the Kennedy legacy gets transferred to John. I mean, this is a wonderful book. The A&E documentary was great. The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince. Here we are 20 years later, and it just seems like yesterday. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Stephen Gillen. The book is entitled America's Reluctant Prince, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr. And he talks about 1999 a lot in that book. And if you're interested, it's pretty cool stuff. Or you want the dead to be just dead. Yeah. What celebrity death affected you the most? There's a question for you. 312-981-7200. What celebrity death affected you the most? Been talking about JFK Jr. Tonight. It's just a very sad story how he passed away before he was 40 years old at 38. That's how old he was. Celebrity death. Think about that for a second. Robin Williams, when he committed suicide, that was a rough one.
That was rough.
I mean, I was shocked. Robin Williams.
Such a good actor.
A lot of people would say John Lennon back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football. A lot of people remember that moment when Howard Cosell told the world about John Lennon. Michael Jackson's another one.
Mm-hmm.
I know the allegations came out afterwards, but when he died that day, you were shocked. Prince? Yeah. How about you?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger. Wow. Yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. That's an old one.
Yeah, 2008. It's a long time ago.
God, it's been that long.
Yeah.
He had like a mixture of drugs and alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he...
And also, I think it's because of the role. A lot of people were saying that the role that he played as the Joker in the Batman movies took over his mindset.
Well, if you're on drugs, a lot of things will do that, too.
Yeah, but
definitely so. Heath Ledger, you're right.
He was 28.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was young.
David Bowie is another one that affected a lot of people, but he was sick for a while.
Yeah. Who affected you the most?
I think Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
In the last 5 years. That came to mind right away.
Yeah. Gosh. Can't believe it.
Because he's always happy. Every talk show.
He made so many people laugh, too.
It's I know. That was part of it, though.
Yeah. He was battling with so much.
Deeply depressed.
Yeah.
When you get depressed, do you like to be around people or do you like to be alone by yourself?
I mean, I would like to be around people.
I draw energy from people. So when I am by myself, I've been to some very dark places. Yes. We don't want to talk about on this show. Let's switch subjects. Tomorrow is National Hot Dog Day.
All right.
Yeah.
Woo.
National Hot Dog Day. What do you like on your dog? Do not say ketchup or you're kicked off the show.
I said ketchup before.
You do not put ketchup on your hot dog.
I do put ketchup on my hot dog. I'm sorry. I do. I put ketchup and mustard.
There's certain things that you can't do in this city. Even if you like ketchup, you can't do it. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. So you
but
need to
why
cut
not?
It out.
Why can't I put ketchup on
my
hot dog?
It's just an unwritten rule. If you want to be a true Chicagoan, you cannot put ketchup on your hot dog. And people will call you out in public. I've seen it. I've done it myself. I'll be at the condiment stand at a ballpark or the United Center, and I'll say, dude, don't, get away from that. No.
Hot dog patrol?
Get that hot dog away from the ketchup. Don't do it. What are you talking about? What's wrong, man? That's how fights start, by the way. You got to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, gosh.
Drag it through the garden. Yellow mustard?
Yes.
Okay.
I love yellow mustard.
Chopped white onions?
Nope. Not a fan of onions.
What?
Mm-mm.
You're Greek.
Yeah, but...
Greeks love onions.
Okay, yes, we love onions, but we cook them. We don't eat them, you know, just cold.
That is such a Mediterranean thing. Why is that? Growing up, my house smelled like cooked onions every single day. My mother was always frying onions for no reason.
That's right.
Well, you just don't know when you're going to need them, honey. All right, Mom, whatever you say. Chopped white onions, bright green sweet pickle relish. You can have the regular pickle relish if you're dragging it through the garden. You have to have the neon green pickle relish.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yep. Okay. A dill spear on the side. God, there's nothing better than that.
Like the...
A dill pickle.
Like the, yes. Oh, I love the pickles.
Like a wedge.
Yep.
God, that's so good. My mouth is watering just talking about it. Tomato slices or wedges?
Yeah.
You have that. You have...
Instead of the ketchup?
Yes.
No, okay.
That's what you do.
It's not the same.
It is exactly the same. Okay. Pickled sport peppers.
I've never.
Do you like, you don't like small peppers on your hot dog?
I mean, I like my hot dogs plain, I guess. I'm just so basic.
What are you, in third grade?
I'm sorry, yes. I don't eat hot dogs that often, but you know, but what I do is just plain.
If you go to a ball game, you absolutely have to have a hot dog.
Oh my gosh. That's absolutely. Just too much on that hot
celery
dog.
Salt. Gotta have celery salt. At the end. Why are you giving me that look?
I'm just.
Have you never heard about dragging it through the garden? Tomorrow's National Hot Dog Day. Maybe you need to stop and get a real Chicago dog.
I need to shape up.
Right.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Just give me the recipe. Just give me whatever you're reading right now. And
you have to have the poppy seed bun.
That's just too much.
God, like I love it.
Okay, is this like a particular hot dog or am I just going and telling them what to put on it?
Okay, let me explain something to you. You live in the third largest city in the United States. This is a very special city. It's called Chicago. We do not put ketchup on our hot dog.
Okay.
The
okay.
Chicago dog is a dog that you drag through the garden. Mm. That is considered a Chicago dog.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
And you can, some people spell it D-O-G, some people spell it D-A-W-G.
Okay.
The Chicago dog.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Dog.
You got to drag it through the garden. National Hot Dog Day tomorrow.
I feel like I upset you now.
How many dogs can you eat?
I can probably eat maybe 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I can do it.
All right.
With an empty stomach all day.
I like that. Good for you. Now you're cool again.
There you go. I gained some points. All right.
You were losing a lot of people, and now it's like Vivi can eat 3 hot dogs.
And I'm back, everybody.
You are, well, almost. Okay. Keep the ketchup off your dog. It's 720 WGN.
Hi, folks. Orion here, and I'd like to invite you to stop in and meet my friends at Gary Lang Cadillac and McHenry during their summer event. For years, I've trusted the associates at Gary Lang because they are the best in their class. Believe me, whether you're looking for the just-arrived all-new 2020 Cadillac XT6, the sleek and sporty 2019 XT5, or the spacious 2019 Escalade, you'll find the right Cadillac at the right price right now with top-of-the-line service you can depend on. Gary Lang Cadillac, conveniently located on Route 31 between McHenry and Crystal Lake, or save even more time by purchasing your new Cadillac entirely online at GaryLangCadillac.com. That's right. You can purchase your Cadillac entirely online. GaryLangCadillac.com. Oh, and remember, if it doesn't say Gary Lang on the back, you probably paid too much.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ishnala, nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi. This is Bob Prosser, owner of Ishnala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ishnala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks? Our Ishnala chefs have prepared your favorites, 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ishnala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ishnala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
The exploration of space will go ahead, and it is one of the great adventures of all time.
Later this morning, our Space Week celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing continues.
One small step for man, one giant leap for man.
The Steve Coppin Show is proud to welcome Apollo legend Jim Lovell.
For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon, and to the planets beyond.
Later this morning on 720 WGN.
Coming up after news, anybody here rent a scooter yet around the city?
Not here. I've ridden one in L.A.
I don't know if that counts.
Yes, it counts.
You gotta,
of course
you
it
have
does.
To rent it now in Chicago.
Okay, fine.
Vic, have you rented a scooter yet?
Like Vivian, I did in Denver, but not here, Pete.
All right, Vic.
Now, here's a question, because Chicago is, they're testing it right now, and then it goes away in about a month. So are they still available in Denver? Do you know?
Oh, Vic? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just there, so yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's operating. I loved it.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to a guy that I work with at another one of my jobs that rented a scooter, and he didn't have a pleasant experience. So we'll talk to him after news. Oh, boy. A few weeks ago, we had the Lyft scooter people on the show. They talked about how people will learn the scooter quick. They don't need helmets because they are safe. Remember that? That was about 3 weeks ago.
I remember that.
Yes. So I have a buddy I work with at another job, and he had an unfortunate scooter accident that I thought I should share. And on the phone with us is my buddy Ian. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Pete?
How is your face, first of all?
Healing up well.
It is healing up. Tell Vivi and the listeners what happened when you were on the scooter.
Sure. So I hopped on an e-scooter because I was in a hurry to get to band practice.
Okay.
And I went directly over a speed bump and then hit a pothole and landed directly on my face.
Oh, my gosh. Now, here's the question. Why did you land on your face?
That's a good question, Pete. I'm not sure.
What a great question, Pete.
Because now I know the answer to this. I wanted to ask on the radio because I know the answer. You're a musician and you didn't want to break a wrist or hurt your hand in any way. So,
so I made the split-second decision.
Oh, my God.
Now, just to let everybody know, it wasn't exactly a header. It kind of was, but you tried to catch yourself with your shoulder first, right?
Yeah. So I landed on, luckily I had a helmet on, but I landed basically on my chin and then my legs. So I just slid the whole time.
Oh, that's just terrible. I mean, that's a horrible visual. But Ian, here's the thing. You have a bike, you ride a bike, so you own a helmet. A lot of these people that are buzzing around the city with scooters and you're not supposed to ride them on the sidewalks, these people do not have helmets. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's insane to me. I mean, like, here's the way I think about it is that those scooters are like, you know, they like the thing they say is the max they go is like 15 miles per hour.
Right.
That's how fast I bike at. I mean, that's fast.
It is fast.
I mean, it hurts.
I saw a girl the other day that she got on the scooter and then she tried to stop and she was running next to it. I know she wasn't going full speed, but if she was, she would have wiped out. And
easily.
Nobody has a helmet on. This is what I don't understand. And I said this when we had the Lyft people on, the Lyft scooter people on. If someone could invent some type of lightweight, low budget helmet and sold them on corners, they would make bank. They would make so much money.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And you go on Shark Tank and you get the sharks to buy in, and next thing you know, you're in all 50 states. That's big.
What if they rent helmets just like they rent Divvy bikes?
Well, how do you rent the helmets? That's the thing.
And not only that, what about sanitary? You know, is it sanitary to do that?
I know. Everybody says that, and I agree with you. I get it. But I don't know. I'm just trying to make the world a better place right now.
I'm with you 100%. There's something there that everybody's missing, because that's a need.
What if it comes with a wet wipe?
I think the first person that can make a helmet that looks like a beanie is going to be a millionaire.
A beanie. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just like a winter cap, first guy that can just wear it and doesn't look like anything.
How is it going to protect you, though? That's the thing. We need NASA.
We need engineers. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
We need smart people that are listening right now. Not this group right here. Okay.
No, I don't know how to do it, but if anyone's listening, that would work.
Right. I mean, we have all of Chicago and the state of Illinois listening right now. And Indiana, Wisconsin, yes. Ian, I've never rented a scooter. Is this your first time, or have you rented one before?
Oh, I've rented them in multiple cities, multiple times.
Okay, multiple cities, multiple times. Okay.
So I've probably ridden them 25 times plus, and this is the only crash I've had. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I wiped out bad.
Well,
why
didn't you? People are thinking right now, why didn't you just slow down over the speed bump? What happened?
I mean, that's, you know, user error, but that's part of the problem.
But
you don't think about how fast they're going.
Well, I understand the speed bump, but the next thing you know, I mean, there's potholes everywhere in the city, so you're bound to hit one. And that's the reason that I wanted to have you on, because people are renting these scooters and you're going to hit a pothole and you're not going to have a helmet. That's why you need to prepare and have a helmet in advance. I mean, it's so critical.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And how much is the scooter again? What are you paying?
I mean, I think my trip was about $3 total, and so I think I went about 2 miles. And I sent them a picture of my face messed up, and I said, "Can I get a refund? Because I wiped out." And they said, "Absolutely not."
Of course, can I get a refund? So you sent them. Okay, what did you do? So you had a bloody face.
Yep.
And what else? So your hands were okay because you caught yourself with your melon, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I landed melon first,
yes,
and then leg second.
All right.
But so yeah, they weren't too fond of that idea.
I saw your face because it was, very prevalent on the front of your face. It was on the side of your leg, though, that you scraped the entire skin off, it looked like.
Oh, yeah, basically.
What do you do for that? Anything?
Neosporin, I guess.
Okay. Isn't that why they make witch hazel? Isn't witch hazel one of those things that you put on there? I could be wrong.
I'm sorry, say that again, Steve.
Witch hazel is like this weird old remedy that people put on cuts back in the day. And did you get tested for a concussion?
No, I did not. Because I landed straight on my chin instead of my head, so I just figured I was fine.
Wait a second, man. That's part of your head. Do you understand? Do you understand how that works? Oh, boy. Wow. Well, the reason that we wanted to bring you on, of course, is to let people know that they need to wear helmets with scooters. So let me ask Vivi before we let you go. When you rented your scooter in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
did you wear a helmet?
I did not.
Hmm. So when you ride...
Oh, man, that's terrifying.
It is. And when you ride a bike, do you wear a helmet?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh, that's so terrifying. You what? Have to wear
I don't,
them.
But listen, I'm not one of those cyclists that ride their bikes on the street.
No.
Like, I don't do that. I would probably just drive to a park or by the lakefront and just ride my bike there. I mean, I'm not like actively driving.
Well,
you know, riding.
Let's listen to the guy that rides his bike everywhere. Ian,
okay.
What would you tell her?
Vivian, the one thing that I took away from this that made me the happiest about it uh-huh. was that the fact that I was the only person that was hurt. It scared me to think I was going 14 miles per hour. And imagine if I just hit someone walking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wiped out hard enough, and that's fine. I can deal with it. But, you know, like, if I hit a little kid or something like that, like, you know, it's
wow,
scary.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's scary to think about. Like, they're fast. I mean, that's super, super fast. And the fact that, like, anyone can just walk on one, it's, you know, it's a bit scary. And, you know, I don't like to say, like, oh, I've experienced driving them. But, you know, I've done it before. But, you know, it's definitely...
Well, I'd say 25 times you do have some experience with these scooters.
Yeah.
But people need to wear helmets. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, if... You know, I'm lucky I landed on my chin instead of my forehead.
You know? I don't mean to laugh. Can we go back to the tape on that? Hold on a second. Where is it? There it is. Oh, that's going to leave a mark right there, Ian. Ian, we're glad you're okay. And keep putting the Neosporin on your cut. All right, brother?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a great night.
All right. You too, Pete.
All right. See you, buddy. That's my buddy Ian, who wiped out on the scooter. That is rough stuff right there. All right, quick break. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. By the way, back to the alligator for a second. Chance the Snapper. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the alligator watch. I'm going to miss it bringing the people together in Humboldt Park and all around the city. It's sad. It really is sad. We were talking about bikes and scooters and wearing helmets. Phoebe, you just need to wear a helmet.
I will. I will.
This is from Deanna, 630 area code. My husband hit a bump in a parking lot while on his bike and pitched. Hit face down to the ground, cracking off the bottom of his front teeth. Without a helmet, with its rim, he'd have knocked out his teeth and flattened his nose. So it worked. Now they have cool helmets. Back in the day, they didn't have cool helmets. You can get just about anything nowadays.
Yeah, and my mom is very concerned right now. She said, that's not what I taught you, young lady.
Mm-hmm. I don't ride my bike in the city anymore because people just don't pay attention.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the thing. Carrie, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, morning, Pete. Hey, so first of all, the gator's name is Scotty. I think Cochran taught us that. But
Scotty?
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know where that came from. I missed that on Cochrane's show.
I don't know. He interviewed him several times.
Oh, yes. And he was on today. You're right.
Yes, he was. So as far as scooters go, I've always, since this started, I haven't rented one yet. In fact, they frighten me. Not scooters in general, but driving them around a big city like Chicago, which I know people drive and I know how the potholes are.
Right.
But my wife and I grew up in Chicago, and we moved back to Illinois several years ago, and we lived in Wisconsin for work, and up there you could just buy any kind of scooter, and you didn't even need a special license. You needed a driver's license.
And that was it?
That was it. So when we moved back to Illinois...
Wait a second. Do you need a driver's license to rent a scooter?
Well, see, that's question one. I don't know. I don't think they ask you on those things.
That's a great question.
You're not supposed to drive down the street, but they are. So, but the bigger question is, so in Wisconsin, you didn't need anything special. You just need a driver's license. And like even a little moped, right? Like you college kids ride around.
Okay.
So you just need a regular driver's license. So we moved back down here to Sycamore, which is essentially Mayberry, and we're like, hey, this is cool. We'll get two little tiny scooters, zip around town with baskets. You know, baskets on the back and,
right.
You know, Hell's Angels, you know, 50-year-old Hell's Angels people. So I looked it up in Illinois. You need a Class M license to get a scooter. Now, that's to drive on the street.
Now, we're talking about two different things, though. You're talking about a motorized scooter that you sit on, right?
Yeah, but
and the scooters that we're talking about here are the ones that you stand on and you have the big, right. Long handlebars. Those are the test runs in the city.
Right, but there's a gray area because, I didn't think about it, but you asked, do you need a driver's license? I mean, I know you're supposed to drive them, you're not supposed to drive them on the street, or what is the...
You're not supposed to drive them on the sidewalk, but people do anyway.
But people do, drive them on the street.
That's where, and you park them, they're parked everywhere, too. I thought there would be a special corner like the Divvy bikes.
No.
I mean, you'll be walking randomly down the street, and you turn the corner, and there's just a scooter just sitting there.
Yeah, no, right before this was launched in Chicago, I was in Indianapolis, and they had a program established, obviously, you know, way before, and they were just littered everywhere. I mean, on the sidewalks, everywhere.
You'd think they'd have a docking station somewhere. You just don't leave a scooter randomly.
No, I guess they have some more complicated setup where they have people who wrangle them at night, and I guess they know where they are.
Okay.
Yeah, they know where they are, so they gather them.
Yeah, you're right.
Someplace to charge them.
Yep.
It's really complicated. But really, I mean, even get like a little tiny moped in this state, you need a Class M license if you own one.
So you're saying you don't know if you need a special license for the scooter. But when we had the Lyft...
Clearly you don't. It's just, I don't know how they got around that.
When we had the Lyft scooter people on, I don't even think there's an age limit, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, there's a lot of gray areas in this thing, and they kind of just threw it out there. I don't know if it was to make money or what, but there's a lot of great questions. Of course.
Gary, everything's all about money, buddy.
Of course, absolutely.
It's all about the cash.
Absolutely.
And do you still have the pick and save in Sycamore? Is it still there?
No, we have a Hy-Vee now.
The Hy-Vee? Is the Jewel?
We got two Jewels. Well, okay. We got one in DeKalb and a new one in Sycamore.
Yep.
And then we got the Hy-Vee, and we're getting a Meijer. They just started construction.
Really?
Yep. We're getting a Meijer.
Is there enough population for that?
I guess. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Gary. Right,
thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
your call. See you, man. Vivi, I hate to ask you this because you're probably not going to remember, but in Denver, when you rented the scooter, do you remember?
It wasn't Denver.
I'm sorry, you were
LA. It was Los Angeles.
Sorry, Vic just rented one in Denver. Was there anything special that you had to do? I know you bring it up on the app, right?
Yeah, it's called Bird app.
Is there an age limit? There's different apps because different companies. So they have the Lyft one. I'm sure Uber probably has one. And Bird. So is there an age limit?
I don't think I read anything about...
So you just downloaded the app.
Yeah.
And you pay for it,
Yeah, I just added my credit card information, and that was it.
Do you
accept the terms and conditions?
Right. Is there a QR code that you have to scan?
Yeah, I believe so.
And
you got to take a picture of the scooter after you're done so you can prove to them that you did not damage the scooter.
What do you do with the scooter?
Well, when you park it, you take a picture of it at the end of your route.
All right.
And you upload it on the app and they give you the okay that you can let go and you're not going to be charged for the additional whatever time.
What if there's a scratch on one side of the scooter and you take a picture? There's a scratch on the left side and the right side you take the picture.
Listen, my picture was far, far away so they would not be able to check it. Scratches. No, I mean, you can tell. But they're pretty durable. I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to break them.
I don't know why I would rent one. I mean, just to try it.
Look, it's fun. It was fun when I did that in LA.
I'm sure.
But I can definitely see the dangerous side and the horrific experience that Ian went through. But
he hit a speed bump and then a pothole and did a header.
That's just awful.
Because he's a musician and didn't want to ruin his hands or break his wrist.
That's dedication right there.
It really is. Wow. Crazy stuff. Okay.
You really need to ride one. And then I
was thinking about that. I'll do it on the lake, though. Can you do it on the bike path?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would seem a little bit safer.
See why not?
That would seem a little bit safer than doing it downtown.
But also,
in Wicker Park, they don't have it downtown. There's certain zones for it.
If you do it by the lakefront, there's just a lot of people there too, so you can't really use it.
I'm not going to go full throttle.
You should just, do the whole experience. You got to go as fast as it goes, and then slow it down, and just kind of, figure it out.
How about if I get used to it first?
Okay, fine.
I mean, 15 miles an hour. We talk about it. It doesn't seem fast, but once you're on that puppy,
I know it was fast. It was fast.
Yeah.
It was fast.
There you have it, folks. That's a lot of scooter talk right now. It's 720 WGN.
Your business decisions require the latest business intel. Get briefed every morning with the opening bell.
If you're in the market for a new fridge or washing machine, wait another day before buying. Consumer Reports has compiled a list of the most reliable appliances, and we'll share it with you at 5:08.
Steve Grzanich and the opening bell, later this morning at 5 on WGN Radio.
Exploration of space will go ahead, and it is one of the great adventures of all time.
Later this morning, our Space Week celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing continues.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for man.
The Steve Cochran Show is proud to welcome Apollo legend Jim Lovell.
For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon and to the planets beyond.
Later this morning on 720 WGN.
Jean-Baptiste Pointe-du-Sable, Richard J. Daley, Daniel Burnham. These are the great names in Chicago history. Add to that list, Crocodile Frank.
I thought it was an alligator.
Don't screw this up.
He'll be here to play News or Ruse with us.
At 6 o'clock.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
One thing I need to mention, I heard Spike on Cochran Show talking about the moon landing. It was just fantastic. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, please go to our podcast page and listen to that. He and Steve together. It's like the two uncles that you want to sit next to at Thanksgiving dinner. It was really great stuff. And they were talking about their experiences as a young kid watching the moon landing live. I know you don't remember this, Vivi, because you weren't born, but back in the day, there was only three channels, and everybody watched. That's how it was. All right, that does it for us. By the way, Vic, before we go, when you rented the scooter in Denver, was there a minimum age? Was there anything listed?
No idea. I just walked up, read the instructions, downloaded the app.
That means no.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I just walked up, downloaded the app. I had to put a credit card in, so you're not going to get too many young kids walking around with credit cards.
Yeah, but parents can put a credit card in for their kids.
My kid's got one. He's 16, almost.
Okay.
Almost. So maybe he could. I don't know. It's a good question, Pete. I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't find out.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great night, man. That does it for us.